broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is Hour 1 of 2, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land. The Constitution of the United States of America is indeed our guide. We reject revolution unless it's a Jesus revolution, then we're in. It's also a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one faith-filled issue at a time, Friday. You got to dig it. 2 hours of hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips always. We've had a couple of rebroadcasts this week because it's been a crazy week indeed. 2 days ago, Wednesday, we had our all-day incredible CSPOA. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association event. And man, it was incredible. It was great. But the mainstream press lost their minds and literally lied all the way till the cows come home. It's just insane. The problem is the division in America grows greater by the second. And you know what? Unless we appeal to God, there's going to be no way that I can see to stop it. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. But we got a lot to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen. The good news is the doctor's in the house. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website for his collegiate series to preserve the nation, for his weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, and a whole lot more. FreedomsRisingSun.com. Dr. Bradley, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. And I will put a little interlude in here. Who's going to do it but us? 249 years ago this morning, good men had already died on the Lexington and Concord Greens. I mean, I think that it's important that people look back in order to be able to better look forward, and I don't need to spend a lot of time on it, but I hope that people will give some reflection to the response of farmers and craftsmen and shopkeepers and husbands and fathers and brothers and sons that picked up their muskets and ball and powder and hopefully a little water and a loaf of bread or something to put in the knapsack as they went out on the green to meet 600 of the most mighty army on earth, and their little cottages were left behind with their wives and family worried about them. And they said, nope, we're not going to roll over as they seek to disarm us, as they seek to pick up some of the men that have had courageous voices in the battle for freedom. And the volley, first volley the shot heard around the world was fired 249 years ago this morning. So I just thought I'd remind people the 19th of April is a watershed day in American history. So maybe enough said, but...
Nope, not enough said. It's great. It needs to be focused on. It needs to be highlighted. So ladies and gentlemen, shot heard around the world 249 years ago today. And the most important thing to remember about this is that the Americans, you know, they weren't Americans then because I guess America wasn't formed, but they were certainly patriots. They were certainly colonists, whatever you want to say. They basically were willing to peacefully try to work with George, King George. But you know what? He wouldn't let them is the point. He would not let them. No matter what they tried, no matter what they did, they really, you know, the American Revolution happened in the minds and the hearts of people way before the 1776 or whatever you want to say, the 1775 kind of time frame. It culminated, of course, in the shot heard around the world, and eventually the world turned upside down when the ragtag band, the Americans, won and the British lost, and they couldn't believe it was really true and all this kind of stuff. But it's important to understand this happens in the people's minds and hearts way before this. If you really study history, you'll gather that reality check. And the reason I bring this up is they wanted peace, but they were forced to war by George. And eventually it was over when they came for the guns. They said, wait a minute, we cannot let that happen. If we do, the line will be crossed and we'll never, ever be able to protect ourselves again. Even though it seemed like it was offensive, it was really a defensive war by reality, by nature, by force. Not something they wanted, but yet they rose to the occasion with dignity, with honor. And it was a moral war because it was a just war, because it was a defensive war by nature. Doctor, I want you to speak to that a little bit because I want people to really understand. The Patriots today just want to go on the offensive and think that, oh, man, the founders were, they were crazy. They were on the offense. They took it to the enemy. Well, they did only when they were forced to. It was really a defensive necessity for them at that point. They just couldn't let that line be crossed. Am I right about this historical reality?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if you've read the Thomas Jefferson, John Adams reconciliation letters, there's a wonderful exchange between them, and Adams talks about being asked to speak about the Revolution, not speak, he was to write about it in a preface to a book. And he says, you know, really, the Revolution happened between 1760 and 1775 before a shot was fired or blood was spilt. And it was in the minds of the Americans, they had come to love, to cherish liberty. The hearts and minds of the people had been so bent towards, you know, this being able to exercise their agency and the things that they sought to do and be a free people. So, yes, it absolutely, it happened before. But in the years intervening there, there had been a lot of, an awful lot of effort on the part of the colonists to reconcile with the king and parliament and everybody. In fact, just there's one paragraph in the Declaration of Independence that kind of discusses this a little bit. The eloquence of the language is way beyond Americans' eloquence today, sadly. But they did do everything in their power. Just as I might quote that, nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by our ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We therefore must acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. Okay, so these were blood relatives. These were people. The Americans were free men. They were British citizens operating. Blackstone had written about the laws of England, and they considered them free under those laws. And the British had been deaf to their pleas. And it's interesting to me that I think that a lot of the people, you bring up those that just want to take it on the offensive today, that they have not even in the slightest attempt been made to reconcile and correct the things that are wrong. We have a nation that has mechanisms in place that can allow us to do that without violence. But there are those that want to get their AR-15 and run down the street shooting out windows when they haven't in the slightest attempted to correct things in the manner by which they are. But I'll just also say this, that the time does come when there, hopefully it doesn't come in this nation, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same objective evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for the
security. Sadly, history is repeating itself, and we find ourselves in that very scenario now. Are we as far along as they were when the shot heard around the world? No, we're not that far along, but we're literally hurling toward that reality check unless we, the people, act differently, take different actions, Doctor.
I wonder if we're not farther along than the Brits were, the most American Brits and the Brits. And I say that because of this. Their impositions of tyranny had been much less egregious. But here's the deal with us. We have voted it into position. We have voted the chains of tyranny upon ourselves. We have put our representatives there. We have allowed them to overstep and usurp. We continue. Look, right now, Sam, I don't know what the average American's exact tax burden is, but it's somewhere in the range probably of about half of their gross income when you consider state income tax, federal income tax, property tax, social
city,
security
county,
tax,
state,
Medicare tax,
sales tax,
tax, gasoline tax, everything. Okay, so half of our gross income is going to some level of government. I had a discussion here a while back with someone that I thought until that point it was a normal, intelligent individual, but had a very responsible position, both in church and in his work. And he thought it was wonderful. He says, look what we get for these taxes. He's willing to enslave his children for it. Sounds like we've got to take a break. I'll shut up for a minute.
I'm going to skip the break. Let's just do it. Let's go.
Okay. Well, that's the problem, is so many Americans, oh, look how good it is. Look at what we've got for this. And you look at what we've got for this right now. You look at Mike Johnson and rolling over on the – he didn't roll over. I hope we can talk about this in a little while.
We'll talk about it.
Ukraine-Israel thing. He's not just sold us out. He was always there. And we talked about this the day he was installed in the speaker job. Sam, we are imbecilic in the way we are handling things. We don't have a spare nickel in this country.
Yeah, you're right. All right. Stick with this, though. Stick with this Lexington Concord deal. We don't want to switch gears.
Okay.
This is too important. No. Your next point's important, too, but we just can't skip over this.
No, you're right. I mean, there's so many target-rich in this environment we're in right now.
Absolutely, but we got to methodically go through this, though, and I don't want to let this one go because this one is critical to understand, and I really want modern-day people to get this context. Go ahead, sir.
Well, what was happening in the days of the American Founding Fathers was infinitely smaller than what we have here. The King's men had, in some instances, actually gone in Virginia and some other places and actually seized some of the firearms and the ball and powder. They had done some things like they say, you know, yeah, I understand. And people have got to liken this to their own day. We understand hunting is important to your livelihood. And let's say you're a pretty good shot. Let's say how many deer do you need to kill every year in order to feed your family? How many turkeys or whatever, you know? So here's what we'll do. We'll allow you to have enough powder and ball to be able to go out and do your subsistence hunting. Oh, occasionally there's a little bit of a problem with some of the Native Americans, but you know what? You don't need all of this powder and ball there. You just don't. Now, you look at that today where they're trying to limit the right to keep and bear arms to something that has, well, it's their pleasant pastimes, hunting and plinking and target practicing and collecting and all that kind of stuff, but the right to keep and bear arms is essential.
And it's literally under assault, and when they can't get it done by law or by manipulation or by the people's willingness, then they back into this dishonest life. Now they're basically taking away the ammunition, just like they did back in that day, except right now it's much, much, much worse.
And the thing is, they do it by, I would like to use stronger language, but it's not on the radio. I mean, we are on the radio, so we can't use some of that.
That's right.
But they put on merchant codes when you buy a handgun in Colorado now. Can you believe?
They're doing the same thing in Washington. And they're doing the same thing in Illinois. Yeah. And I can keep going, people. And, you don't believe me? I've got sheriffs that'll double down and bear witness to that reality check.
And we've got stores that are saying, you know, we just don't think it's good that we carry firearms anymore, or if we do, there just got to be bolt action. You know, I had conversation. I had a meeting with both of these people are dead now. They were our senator and our congressman in the 1990s, Orrin Hatch and Jim Hansen. And I met with them, and they had just passed their assault weapons ban, so that we've called it that. But in 86, they passed the 1986 Firearms Control Act, which in essence has closed the door on owning real firearms that might ultimately be used to defend our lives, liberty, and property.
And reverse the digit, the 1986, if you turn the numbers around, 1968 was another gun control assault.
And unquestionably, in 1938 happened in Germany, which was very similar to what happened in 68 in the United States. You go back to 1934. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's what the amendment says. But we've got over 25,000 laws on the books today, right now, in the United States of America that do that. And by the way, I'm just going to – I don't want you to take this off on this tangent too much, Sam, but the last Constitution that we helped write was the Iraqi constitution after Saddam Hussein, anyway. All these Freudian slips, anyway. But Saddam was overthrown, and we helped them write a new constitution. As soon as we got that constitution written, as soon as it was made known that it was out there, and they did their purple finger in the ink, you remember all of that, and how Congress was so, we're so excited, everybody wore a purple finger to their meetings. Anyway, in the Congress they did.
And the truth is, it was a purple middle finger to liberty, sir.
It was. I got two separate translations of the new Iraqi constitution, because it was not in the language that I speak. And there, you get variations between translations. And so I reviewed that constitution. And I'm here to tell you, the right to keep and bear arms, you can have right to keep and bear arms if you're part of the government, if you're a military force or you're government agent or something. Nothing of the right of the people to keep and bear arms. You look at the freedom of speech, you got it, insofar as not limited by law. What kind of freedom of speech is that if they can change laws that limit your freedom of speech? It is a Soviet style constitution. And that's exactly what we helped them write when we did their new constitution. And people today want to rewrite ours. And I think, holy cow, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of keep and bear arms. No, these kinds of things get written out when the bureaucrats, I'll call them for lack of a more soft term, when the bureaucrats, the United States, help participate in this thing. And we want to rewrite our Constitution right now. And the buffoons, baboons, and bozos that we've got in our leadership positions around the nation will be the ones that rewrite it. The ones that
and you
got to
add betrayers to the buffoons, baboons, and bozos. You got to add betrayers to that reality check as well, because you know what? They've sworn an oath to the contrary, sir.
Absolutely. And we, the people, continue to put them in their offices. Well, they do a pretty good job on this or that or the other. We lie to each other, and we say, we're going to come back to Mike Johnson, I know. But you'd look at when Mike was put in there, everybody was all just gaga over this thing. And you and I talked about it that morning, and we said, no, this is not going to turn out well. This man came into the office
too
easily.
We warned that it wouldn't turn out well, but I did, and this is kind of part of the news guy in me. Hey, let's give Mike a chance. He's a Christian. Let's see if he will willing to stand up. You know, sometimes people aren't great, but when they get an opportunity or some responsibility or some obligation, the Lord works on them, and they do way better than their historical relevance might suggest. And so, you know, I wanted to give him an opportunity, so I gave him some rope. But boy, howdy, did he hang himself with it. And by the way, that's not a literal thing, you media thugs that want to betray every statement that I make. That's a reality check in terms of, hey, he has betrayed us, and we gave him the chance to do right, keep his oath, and he's now failed. But I gave an opportunity for that to happen, and I hope that would occur, Doctor. So let's be clear and fair about, hey, the news and opinion and everything else. I said, hey, this might not go well. This probably won't go well, but let's give him a chance. Let's give him an opportunity, because we had no choice. He was already, you know, sustained as Speaker of the House and everything else. So now it's time to kind of sit back and watch, and then to push for holding him accountable. And no matter how hard we push to hold him accountable, he absolutely betrays us, Doctor.
Well, Sam, I will say this about you. You are much more generous than I was at the time. And probably, I mean, maybe you're about as chapped
and
as it, I
and
am.
And it's
right
not
now.
Because I didn't, it's not because I disagreed with you. It's because I think, hey, you know what? I want to give everybody an opportunity, a chance. And, you know, I knew what would probably happen, but I held out some hope and some faith and some, hey, you know what? Let's give the guy a chance. We can't just barbecue him before he even gets an opportunity. But now he's done the work where we have the evidence. And so now it's a different ballgame. And as a news guy, I always do that to the best of my ability, Doctor. It's the only kind of fair way to start out and give, you know, hey, maybe hopefully things will change. I didn't have a lot of faith in it, but I had at least hope and a desire to give that window of opportunity. That window's expired now, though.
I truly believe it has. And I don't, you know, this Jeffries guy that's the Democrat waiting in the wings to be able to step in and take the speaker job if Mike steps out, I wonder what kind of difference we would have. I don't know as we're going to get much different out of a speaker that's...
You know, here's what happens. You're going to go towards socialism. Instead of going 100 miles an hour, you're just going to go 200 miles an hour. That's all. You're not going to have a change in direction if that's your question.
If you're going 98 now and you're going to go 100 then, I mean, I know there will be some nuanced differences. But that's we are getting exactly out of the Congress right now, even as we speak. I mean, FISA 702. I mean, think about that. TikTok.
By the way, we'll get to that, too, coming up. We'll get to that, too, coming up.
Target-rich environment.
Remember this, folks, and this is the quintessential point. On April 19th, 1775, 249 years ago today, Lexington and Concord shot heard round the world, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we had then. And our point is, and our question is, how close are we to that reality today? In some ways, we're getting close. In some ways, we're not as far along. In some ways, we're much, much further. And that's the problem. And let me kind of document, you know, how we're much further. Instead of protecting your Fourth Amendment rights to unlawful search and seizure, Speaker Mike Johnson literally voted with the Democrats and against a warrant requirement, writes Senator Rand Paul. Paul's correct on this, doctor. He literally thumbed his nose at the Fourth Amendment of warrants of unlawful search and seizure. He literally doubled down and promoted the lawless agenda of FISA and partnered with the Democrats and betrayed all of us, all the people, doctor. That's what Mike Johnson just did. And now the headline says Mike Johnson trades border security for more foreign aid, writes The Blaze. So now we got FISA, we got foreign aid, we got border security, all that's in the mix with those two headlines. Speaker now sets weekend vote on package for, listen, long stalled. So they're saying, yeah, you know, these whacked out right wingers have stalled this thing for too long. So long stalled Israel and Ukraine aid. Katie Edmondson, The New York Times, with that piece. So now Mike Johnson's literally planning a vote this weekend to promote this foreign aid big time. We're funding both sides of the war as Iran attacks Israel. Then Israel launches major strike on Iran. We'll get into the details of that, but that's the summary, doctor. That's in a, the best summation I can create of what Mike Johnson has done since he has taken Speaker of the House.
Well, but it doesn't end there, but let's just focus
for a minute.
Of course
not. I'm just trying to summarize it and get our arms around it a little bit, right?
Here's
but yeah, it goes on so long it would take us hours to break down all the betrayals.
Indeed, it would. And here's the deal. When Kevin McCarthy pulled his shenanigans and everybody was saying, yeah, it's time to get rid of this turkey, what had happened? They get these continuing resolutions to try and keep the Congress, I mean, to keep the nation open, blah, 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 blah. And they said, no, you know, we realize we don't have money to do these defense things. People are sick and tired of spending money on this. We won't control our own border. We'll try and control everybody else's border, but not our own. We care more about the South Korean northern border than we do America's border, all this kind of stuff. We're not going to spend money on Israel and Ukraine. And yeah, we know. We got to get the country going again here. Let's make sure we do these continuing resolutions, blah, blah, blah. And then McCarthy negotiates back room, closed door, whatever it was, and says, we'll get you this, President Biden.
I'm going to call them Star Chamber. Okay. They're Star Chamber meetings, doctor.
They really are. They're sellout meetings that we get sold down the river, up the river, whatever the saying is. And so anyway, people said, no, we ain't going to put up with this. Okay, McCarthy, you're out of here. And they rushed Mike Johnson in, and I'm sitting there going, huh? He wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even know who this dude was. And I thought, this happened too easy. Anyway, there's backstory to that. Sounds like we got to take a hard break here, but maybe we can pick this up when we get back.
Got to take the hard break. We will do exactly that in mere seconds on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman, the good doctor, Dr. Scott Bradley with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website for his incredible collegiate series to preserve the nation, his weekly webinars, and a whole lot more. Back in a flash on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. The Iranian Security Council reportedly meeting after an Israeli airstrike early Friday morning. U.S. officials confirmed Israel launched an attack and explosions were heard in the Iranian city of Isfahan. Airstrikes were also reported on Iranian targets in Iraq and Syria. Israeli officials were calling it a limited strike. Oil prices surged $3 a barrel overnight in the wake of the attacks. All 12 jurors have been selected for the hush money criminal trial involving former President Trump in New York City. Comprising 7 men and 5 women, selection of the 6 alternates will be done before Friday. Trump speaking to reporters after Thursday's court appearance.
I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning, but I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial.
Trump's accused of falsifying business records in order to cover up payments allegedly made to an adult film star to cover up an affair just prior to the 2016 election. President Biden is garnering significant support from more than a dozen members of the renowned Kennedy family. USA's John Schaefer has more.
The Kennedys stood alongside the president during a campaign gathering in Philadelphia on Thursday.
This campaign is about Trump versus Biden. And what we need to do today is focus on Biden winning.
Carrie Kennedy, daughter of the late senator and presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy, lauded Biden's achievements during his first term and delivered pointed criticism of Republican frontrunner Donald Trump.
Writers for Sesame Street have voted to strike. The Writers Guild of America held a vote. All 35 writers for Sesame Street authorized a strike if an agreement on a new contract cannot be reached before Friday. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get 4 of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit CSPOA.org today. The time to act is now. CSPOA.org.
In the heart of Las Vegas on April 17th, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association invites you to a day of enlightenment and action. Join us at the Ahern Luxury Hotel from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. for a pivotal training and press conference. Together, we can confront America's crisis with peaceful and effective solutions, featuring key voices like General Flynn, Sheriff Richard Mack, Mike Lindell, and many more respected speakers. This event promises irrefutable evidence that our nation and its foundational principles can be preserved. Whether you're a media candidate, elected official, or a concerned citizen, this gathering offers a catered dinner, specialized training sessions, and a press conference with international and national media presence. Secure your spot by April 12th for just $49. Space is limited. Remember, media, candidates, and elected officials can attend for free. For more information, visit CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org. America is calling for her defenders. Will you answer?
begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. 249 years ago today, shot heard around the world. Yes, indeed, April 19th was the day, ladies and gentlemen. And the bottom line is, hey, in their day they wanted peace, but you know what? Their enemies forced war. They're doing the same thing to us today, Doctor. Mike Johnson literally selling us down the river. How close are we to the reality today that they had 249 years ago? And in many ways, we're not quite as far along. In many ways, we're much further along. Mike Johnson betrays us all. We're talking about border security. We're talking about foreign wars. We're talking about FISA 702 spying on the American people. Really, I hate to say this, but I'm gonna lay it out exactly right, Doctor. Maybe I'm a little too hardcore, but I'm going to lay it out. Mike Johnson has sworn an oath to protect us from enemies foreign and domestic. He has betrayed us on both counts.
Well, I think that's there's a whole dissertation in that statement that could be expanded and supported and reinforced, because truly that is exactly what's happening. And whether we take this effort to get nearly $100 billion shuffled out the door, that's what McCarthy got his head on the platter for. And now, because there's been a decent interval, and we could talk about the decent interval in Frank Schnepp's book and Vietnam and all that, but as there's been an interval between that and now, they're thinking they're going to put it in under the covers of night, and everybody's going to vote on it this Saturday, blah, 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 blah. But what happened is we're not any better off right now than we were then. The attitude and mentality right now.
I would say we're worse off.
That's right. We financially are worse off, but in addition to that, the nation is saying, "Wait, we're going to send $100 billion off on these boondoggles that were out there that hasn't done anything. There's no dog in the fight. There's no skin in the game. There's nothing that we have at risk on this thing.
There's no mission for solution by any means,
and there's no money in the bank." And we're taking this out of the bank accounts of our children and grandchildren. And why is this different than what happened to McCarthy when he got served his head on the platter, when he said, we're going to do this, sneaking it through with a Biden backroom
Is this different than King George when you put Johnson and Biden together? Why is this worse than, how is this not worse than King George?
It's not. Is not nearly
because
as good,
in their day, and this is one of the ways it's much worse. In their day, it was an assault on the colonies. In our day, it's assault on the whole world, including the United States. Right?
Yes, indeed. And so we have this thing going on, and then we have the FISA court thing with the 702. I mean, I know I'm jumping around, Sam, but there's so many things that when you look at the unconstitutional FISA court from its get-go in 1978, it was unconstitutional. How does the Congress and the Senate and the president supposed to interact? You can talk about how the president, nominates and the Senate approves and all this kind of stuff. Who's the guy that's in charge of the FISA court? It's Chief Justice John Roberts. The Chief Justice is the appointer of these things. Totally unconstitutional. But then you look at how they put out these warrants on a whim. I mean, these guys that were appointed by John Roberts, and most of them are, I think.
Yeah, but they're not really warrants in the traditional sense, too. They're basically color of law warrants. I mean, they're written out, stamped out, not by facts, not by based evidence, not by probable cause, not by all the things that used to kind of document such action. It's a specialty star chamber court backed by rubber stamped pretend, so under the color of law, not true law, warrants, if they even have them at all, right?
Sam, I got a rubber stamp in my, not everybody, but a lot of people have, these things that you stamp on your envelope that has your return address on it.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
A rubber stamp.
Business.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, okay, so you got a rubber stamp there, so you don't have to write it out every time. I got a rubber stamp in my drawer that has a higher failure rate than requests for warrants to the FISA court. Now, I just looked up, and I only got statistics back to 2017, so these are 7 years old. They had 41,222 warrant requests, 85 of them were denied. That's less than, I mean, that's 0.2%. Not 2%, not 20%, 0.2% that failed. These are, can you say rubber stamp, as Mr. Rogers used to say? And that's exactly what happens. And the thing is that these can be on American citizens. There's no justification on any kind of, you know, evidence-based or anything like that. Somebody has to go in and request. Now, I got to tell you, we've been down this slippery slope for a long time now. It started in 78, but when they passed in the panic of the post 9/11 2001 days, and they passed the Patriot Act, I'm probably one of the few Americans still living that has ever read that. And I've got to tell you, it absolutely eviscerated. We don't have a Fourth Amendment anymore. And then when Orrin Hatch ran, he was our senator from Utah, when he ran in 2012, he said he was the principal author of that. First of all, I don't think he had the brain power to do it. But second of all, he had the audacity to claim that he had been the one that helped get rid of this Fourth Amendment. This due process stuff and search and seizure and the warrant process and everything. we just don't have a Fourth Amendment. And this stuff has just been passed through the House. Now, I got to say just one positive thing. I'll stop saying positive things after this. They were trying to, first of all, they wanted to make it a permanent fixture in the FISA. And then they thought 5 years, because that's how they normally reauthorize it. This was up for 2 years. Okay, so there's everybody going, oh my goodness, we'll be able to review it again in 2 years. Bravo, Sierra people. It's simply a formality to renew it again. This two-year thing is a fake and a facade that we are not going to gain one inch, one micron in the battle for liberty if they renew this. And the Senate's going, cool, man, we're good about this. What are we going to do, man? I mean, you can hear Bill Clinton in there with this thing. But at any rate, that's what we're doing with these things, people. And Mike Johnson is cool about it. And we're putting money out the door faster than people can imagine.
Not only cool about it, he's the one really driving the exercise, though, man. He's the wheel man, right?
He is. He seems to be. I mean, like I say, I don't know how much difference. I mean, there'll be nuanced differences, I'm sure, between the Democrat that'll maybe become the Speaker of the House and him. But people, I mean, you look at the Mayorkas, and this is another one. I said I was going to quit saying positive things, so I have already. The Mayorkas impeachment thing. I mean, the agony that they had getting that through the House. Finally,
amen.
They got it.
But
through.
Now here's the deal. Your good Senator Mitt Romney says he's going to vote with the Democrats. Unless they have a vigorous debate about this, he's going to vote against it. Vote with the Democrats to stop it.
To stop the Mayorkas? Or
that
to
is
stop
correct.
Which one? Mayorkas thing
stop
is stopped.
To stop the impeachment. I know, but I'm just telling you, if it comes up for a vote, Mitt Romney has basically gone on record and said, hey, if they debate it vigorously, I might think differently, but until then, I'm against it, and I'll stand with the Democrats.
Yeah.
So you got this lame duck thug senator in Utah going, yeah, I'm going to basically betray the reality here again.
People need to get their Constitution out of the dustbin. I don't know where the heck they're hiding it. But, you know, the sole power of impeachment is with the House of Representatives, and then the Senate shall have the sole power to try the impeachments. Now, you're going to get guys like Schumer that are going to say, well, I'm going to be like a prosecuting attorney and decide not to prosecute this. And that's what he's done. Totally, completely, 100% a party line vote. And that's exactly what they're doing. And you know what? Guys like, I mean, I've watched some of the speeches that some of the fiery speeches that Cruz gave and so on. And Mike Lee says, we're going to remember this next time that we have something from the Democrats. And you know what? Their dander just got up, I guess, after 4 years of hell on wheels. I mean, why haven't they been standing there as the firebrand in the pit trying to bring attention to this, taking the battle to the front instead of waiting back in the supply chain somewhere And now this has happened, and they're saying, we're going to remember this next time around. When do the Republicans ever remember anything? I mean, the Republicans just seem to be incapable of governance. They just don't govern. And this thing is really supposed to be a tussle. It's not supposed to be a collegial kind of thing. I mean, American founding fathers basically said, you know what? You got to have the right to push back and the constitutional authority to do so. Why don't you?
Go ahead and skip the break. Jay, that'd be great. Thank you so much. Continue, Doctor.
Well, I'm just frustrated with, this dual party nonsense.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, folks. Think about this. They've sworn an oath to protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic. How is ignoring our border, letting it leak like a sieve, and, you know, terrorists and ne'er-do-wells are coming in, ask the FBI, Justice Department, everybody else even admits that, hey, it's happening. Meanwhile, we're literally messing with the other nations and breaching their sovereignty and committing acts of war left and right as we fund and train and arm all kinds of groups, Israel. And look, Joe Biden's funding both sides of this thing, Israel and Hamas on this thing, right?
Well, I honestly, do you follow the money? And we got more dollars out there than I can track, actually. But honestly, we have no constitutional authority to do anything that we are. We are Dr. Death. We are exporting the mass weapons of destruction. I mean, when Israel asks for 2,000-pound bombs, sure, we'll send you 2,000-pound bombs. That is not a surgical weapon. There's a lot of collateral damage with the 2,000-pound bomb. I mean, these are blockbusters. These are things that if you drop one, you wipe out the closest elementary school along with the closest hospital, along with maybe some kind of enclave of Hamas leadership. I don't know. I mean, and we provide the weapons where they can launch the weapons into a sovereign nation, Syria, against another sovereign nation, Iran, and their embassy, and we're providing all of the firepower, and then it's like, oh, be a little bit, use this with discretion, or some stupid idiot thing, like we're, it's like, what do we think we're doing? Here's a, and this is not even a good analogy, I guess, but here's the deal. If somebody steals a firearm from somebody in a armed robbery or even just a surreptitiously burglary thing that happens, somebody sneaks into somebody's house and steals a handgun, and the handgun gets used in a crime, they want to blame the owner of the handgun that had it stolen. We're providing these free will weapons, knowing full well that they're going to be used with complete disregard to humanity, and we're okay with that. We're okay with that. We're putting out nearly $100 billion more dollars to go to both Israel and to Ukraine. That'll be voted on Saturday. And sure, that's going to happen unless we, the people, say, no, we're not going to let this happen. But it's been the establishment view, whether McCarthy was there or whether Johnson's there. It's just the way they're going to do business. And our principles are set aside absolutely and completely.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, though, let me just kind of tell you, even the mainstream press admitting that Biden's funding both sides of another war. MSNBC.com is literally writing an article that says, hey, Biden announces aid to Israel and Gaza, funding both sides of another war. Okay, now I'm not a friend of MSNBC. They just attacked me relentlessly. I don't even have time to get into that today. There's too many issues to discuss, and I really want to discuss this right before the weekend because we need our American people to absolutely come unglued and call Congress left and right. 202-225-3121. Ask for your House rep or your senator or anybody, Jim Jordan, anybody that you think might help, Rand Paul, the Speaker Mike Johnson. And you got to absolutely say, no, do not allow this to continue. But Biden announces aid to Israel and Gaza, funding both sides of another war, ladies and gentlemen. MSNBC.com is where I get this piece from. And I just look at that and go, wow. Then the next headline says this, Biden admin announces, quote, new sanctions targeting Iran's, what do they call this? Drone industry after attack on Israel. Today, quote, we are holding Iran accountable, imposing new sanctions and, quote, export controls on Iran. The EpochTimes.com writes this. That's what Joe Biden's doing. Doctor, what do you think of this? I mean, we're literally basically creating sanctions. We're literally funding and training and arming. We're in, I don't know if you can call it a hot war, because we haven't declared war. We don't have, you know, troops on the ground, at least according to what they say, but I'm convinced we do, just contractors, not maybe soldiers per se. We're playing games and dangerously flirting with, I mean, you talk about Gaza and Israel, then you talk about Russia and Ukraine, and then you talk about, you know, China and North Korea and others starting to pick sides. You're bordering on a global World War III scenario here. I don't know how or when or what. Hopefully we can back away from this, but you're literally flirting with disaster on this sucker.
Well, there's so many things that are currently in play.
Yeah,
right,
get on
now.
Your mic more. There you parts. Go.
Okay, there's a lot of moving parts right now, but here's the deal. This is another distraction. The China developments and Formosa and the Straits and the Taiwan and all that kind of stuff, that is another hot spot that is brewing over there too. And the thing is that, you know, we've talked a lot, Sam, about fragmentation, fractionalization, the Marxist approach to divide and conquer and everything like that, and how half the nation hates the other half. You know, they pit men against women, religion against religion, race against race, economic class against economic class, so on and so forth, so that they can disrupt society to the point that they can overthrow the whole societal norm and implement their form of government. And that's how communists have always been successful. But it's happening on a global basis also. When you stop and think about this for a second, we as a nation have taken a path that is pushing fragmentation to the nth degree. And we are pushing, we talked the other day about the BRICS organization, you know, and how it is becoming an economic powerhouse, and how people are being basically pushed into the arms of Russia and China that will be polarized against the United States. The United States is losing its ascendancy. It's in its descendancy, I guess we could say now. But we have all of these things in motion right now. We've got the Iranian thing and the Ukrainian thing and the Israeli thing and the Hamas thing and the Syrian thing and the Formosa thing and that's not to speak of all the other.
And the domestic abuse on all five guarantees in your First Amendment on the domestic side of the equation.
And it's
all hands on deck for assault on everything good.
Well, it's done by design. It truly is. And we need to dial it back to the baseline principles again and say, America is not about any of these things. And we could go, and I could take dozens of examples that are at my fingertips right now and have people say, well, how did we get to this point? This is the antithesis of everything the American Founding Fathers brought forth. And as we live by those principles, the respect that the world had for this nation was overwhelming. And in fact, I have known in my lifetime, I'm old enough to know people that are since passed away, that they could travel anywhere in the world. And it was like red carpet time when an American came in. I don't care if it was a restaurant or if it was in a on a street in Paris or somewhere in the Middle East or somewhere in the Far East, you were welcome. Americans have become ugly Americans, and largely it's because of the way our leadership, so-called, they're not leaders, they're tyrants. These people have absolutely decimated the goodwill that people around the world have felt towards America for centuries now, literally. Greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation on earth, not anymore. And we will force our will upon the nations of the world, and we're forcing other nations to be drawn into other spheres. And Russia and China are the beneficiaries. Russia and China are having a heyday economically because of the way, oh, one other quick thing. I know we got to end for the hour too, but that's another thing. These sanctions, these embargoes, these economic punishments that we're putting on countries. Sam, what was the War of 1812 fought over? It was about economic sanctions. It was about embargoes. It was about
trade sanctions.
Yeah, because that,
literally,
sanctions.
Economic sanctions literally is an act of war.
It is. And that's what we went to war about in 1812. I mean, we're talking more than 200 years ago. We understood this, and we did it. Look what we're doing to the rest of the world.
Well, that's why I'm saying that we're way worse, because before it was King George's assault on the colonists. This is global speaking, folks. Now, look, the Democrats are doubling down and backing Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson might as well switch his, you know, affiliation or whatever else. The headline from the Western Journal, our dear brother Jack Davis over there doing a great job. Headline says, Democrats make, quote, unprecedented move to save Mike Johnson's foreign aid package, thwarting conservative objectors, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Davis, WesternJournal.com. Think about that. The Democrats are loving Mike Johnson. They're doubling down. They're saving him. So that's the right wing against the establishment. It's us against the deep state. Whatever you want to call it, that's the reality check. And Jack Davis literally nails this one and highlights the real concerns and the real truth on this matter. I mean, this is disaster. But it's happening real time. And until the American people get incensed enough to literally stop it, it's going to continue unabated. In fact, it's going to escalate. It's going to gain speed. I hate to say that, but it's the true story. I mean, you've got literally a brick on the gas pedal, and this sucker's just going into hyperdrive.
Yeah, we're going to drive off the cliff with an empty suit at the steering wheel. I mean, him and his crayons to sign all of his agreements. I mean, holy cow. No, I don't know what kind of – I don't know how different. I mean, and maybe people will say, oh, it's going to be different. It'll be a lot different. I don't know. Little nuances.
Lies.
If we had a different Speaker of the House from a different party – how much different would we get? And I think that's the way it is with Schumer. If Mitt Romney were
you'll
the
just
head
add
of the Senate
turbo
right
to
now,
the to the brick on the gas pedal, and just add a turbo engine behind you is all you'll do.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Or I could say another way: you'll just fill the gas tank again, so you got plenty of fuel for the cause, kind of a thing. I mean, this is disaster, folks. And they're literally planning to vote on it this weekend. They want everybody else just to be partying and kind of have a beer bust and stuff like that while they sell us south on the weekend. And anybody who speaks up is a conspiracy theorist, a racist, a nutcase, a white right-wing extremist, white supremacist, whatever you want to say. Hey, that's all they'll do. You know, anybody that opposes it's just basically a derelict in office, and they'll just spin it, lie, and manipulate, and nobody will keep their oath. In fact, it seems like they've got an oath to destroy America as fast as they possibly can.
Well, you know, and I think about in my youth, when we used to always ask, how, you know, if you had a multiple guess test, 100 questions, A, B, C, D for each one, how could you only get 2 or 3% of the answers right, even if you closed your eyes and just guessed? I mean, how could you, you know, statistically, you maybe get 25% right. We're not even getting 2 or 3% right. And it's because it's by design. If it happened, it happened by design. And that's, excuse me, the problem that we've got right now is single acts of tyranny, as Jefferson said. You know, you can kind of attribute that. Here's the quotation that came to mind. Single acts of tyranny may be ascribed to the accidental opinion of a day, but a series of oppressions begun at a distinguished period and pursued unalterably through every change of ministers too plainly prove a deliberate, systematical plan of reducing us to slavery. Thus is the United States today. That was Jefferson.
Yeah, but today it's even more relevant than when he said it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the sad, reality-based truth. The truth shall set us free, though. We the people have got to engage in the culture war. We the people have got to stand for the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America. We the people better hold them to their oaths. And if we don't, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. I hate to be so blatantly honest about it, but I must. The God-ordained truth requires it, ladies and gentlemen. Hour one of the can with Dr. Scott Bradley. Second hour coming up in seconds. FreedomsRisingSun.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, share the love, and God save the Republic of the United States of America.